And of course, we are tracking our tropical system. We have a WRL weather alert day. We'll talk about the timing, how much rain and wind we'll see where you are.
Plus, a live look at Fayetteville, where people are getting ready for the storms. Hear from emergency workers about how they're preparing.
And the $30 billion state budget passed its final hurdle today, while the governor says he will allow it to become law. This tropical system is moving closer to the coast this noon hour. We have the potential for isolated flooding and wind damage tonight and tomorrow. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ken Smith in for Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Just within the hour, a tropical storm warning went into effect for our eastern counties. Rain is already coming down in our coastal communities as we take a live look at Wrightsville Beach. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at the impacts where you are.
So the timeline for our WRL weather alert day kicks in a little bit later on this evening, but we're about to see some of the rain pushing into the eastern part of our viewing area. That will pick up through the evening commute and then really become heavier after 7 o'clock. And that's when the stronger winds will arrive as well. 1 to 3 inches of rain, gusts up to 40 miles per hour. That's what we'll see across our viewing area. We take a look at what's happening right now. The center of the storm is getting closer and closer to North Carolina and producing some heavy rain along the coast, really all up and down the coastline and beginning to push some of that inland across our area. This is a live look at Carolina Beach, and that rain is coming down heavily. You can see heavy surf as well. Definitely a high rip current danger there, and we're going to see that all through the weekend. Here's dual Doppler 5000 radar, starting to see a little bit of rain just pushing into the southern tip of Sampson County. Otherwise, our viewing area is dry, but it won't stay that way for long. By the end of the newscast, we're going to have some of that rain in our eastern counties. We'll keep checking back. The storm is 200 miles south of Cape Hatteras right now, moving north at 12 with 50 mile per hour winds. That's not much of a change since the 8 a.m. advisory. We'll follow that forecast path. You can see at 8 a.m. Saturday, 60 mile per hour winds as it moves across eastern North Carolina. We're still on track to see this pulling away from us and weakening on Sunday. The one thing that's new this morning is several of our counties right along the I-95 corridor are now part of the tropical storm warning. That's an indication of winds. We take a look at current winds. The steady winds are on the left, so 17 in Fayetteville and Goldsboro, 16 in Rocky Mount, and the gusts are on the right. We're already gusting to 28 in Durham and Raleigh, 24 in Goldsboro, 29 in Rocky Mount, on our way to gusts to 40 miles per hour later on this afternoon. From the Triangle area west, 30 to 35, and then closer to the coast, it'll be somewhere between 40 and possibly 70. 70 is going to be out there on the Outer Banks. We take a look at futurecast. We're starting to see that rain creeping into our eastern counties. It will continue to push westward as we get through the day today. Expect to see rain pretty much everywhere by the evening commute, and you can see the heavy bands coming through. During those heavy bands, that's when we'll see the strongest winds, and we'll see a lot of that all the way through at least lunchtime on Saturday before it begins to ease up a little bit. It doesn't really start to taper off until maybe 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, but we are still on track to see it moving on out. We have a level one risk for severe storms just in our far northeastern counties. It's level two closer to the coast. That's where we'd have a better chance of isolated tornadoes. We do have the flood watch from Goldsboro northward for 2 to 4 inches. We're going to go over who's going to see what, probably 1 to maybe up to 2 inches in the Triangle area, and then 2 to 3, possibly some isolated 4-inch totals in our eastern counties. Temperatures definitely cooler. This afternoon, highs will be in the 70s. We'll fall into the 60s overnight tonight, and we won't get out of the 60s tomorrow. We'll take a look a little bit more closely at Saturday coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. And with all that in mind, emergency management teams in Cumberland County are, of course, keeping a close eye on the storm as it's approaching. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bay is live this morning after speaking with community leaders about plans to get ready. Gilbert, good afternoon.
Hey, Ken, how are you? I hope you're okay. Things are okay here right now. This is Cross Creek. We always like to monitor this, get a sense of how things are going right now. I've talked with emergency management. They say they take these storms very seriously. They're going to monitor this one. They plan to make adjustments to their plans as the weather dictates. Now, there is no threat of any major river flooding predicted. Photojournalist Mike Joyner and I took a look at the Cape Fear River. It's nowhere near flood stage. But the wind is expected to be a problem, and that is why these soldiers from Fort Liberty and volunteer staff from the Airborne Special Operations Museum are taking down the Field of Honor. There are more than 550 flags that residents have purchased to honor a loved one with military connections. And talking with Gene Booth, he says the flash flooding is going to be the biggest concern.
The biggest concern would be most likely your typical flash flood low-lying areas that we experience even during a normal spring or summertime thunderstorm. you know, those areas around the mall, Ramsey Street, MLK, those areas that typically have road street level flooding.
Now, we checked out some of those areas. Water levels are not that high right now in nearby creeks and streams, as you've seen with Cross Creek, but we know that can change in a moment's notice. Now, Cumberland County is not planning to open any shelters. And as a matter of fact, the Emergency Management Center is not being manned right now. But Gene Booth says, look, all this stuff can be operated and opened up. It's always on standby and available. And Ken, you can see they're setting up for the International Festival here, and you see those flags are blowing pretty quickly here. Hopefully, things are going to clear out enough so that they'll be able to continue to have this after the storm leaves Saturday afternoon and Sunday.
Yeah, I know that's a very popular festival. Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays monitoring this approaching storm. Gilbert, thanks.
Let's take you to the coast now. You're looking live at Beaufort, where organizers of the Beaufort Pirate Invasion are closely tracking the storm. It's already getting a lot of rain right now. The annual event drawing up to 15,000 people for the festival and reenactments. Beaufort is right in the path where meteorologists say the potential tropical storm could make landfall, bringing wind gusts up to 70 miles an hour and 5 feet of storm surge. Organizers say they have around 100 performers camping out at the site, and they've already had to postpone the start of the event to Saturday. They are monitoring conditions now, hoping that they won't have to cancel the event entirely.
I mean, typically, you know, we always get a thunderstorm. We're always expecting, possible rainstorms. But this may be our biggest storm that we've ever had actually hit. A little
bit. The organizer says there is an evacuation plan for performers at the festival site. They're hoping weather allows them to start the festival by tomorrow afternoon.
Well, the Mooresville International Festival that was planned for tomorrow has now been canceled. The town says the tropical storm moving up the coast is the reason. We'll let you know if we hear when or if it will be rescheduled. Well, this WRL Weather Alert Day is in place through tomorrow afternoon. The WRL Severe Weather Team will be tracking this system throughout today and the weekend. You can get instant updates and alerts in the WRL News app. It's free to download.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we're following some breaking news out of Nash County this afternoon. Rocky Mount specifically, a student brought a gun to Winstead Avenue Elementary. This is a K-2 school in Nash County in Rocky Mount. Here's what we know. A student actually showed a gun to a classmate. That is when that student reported it to a teacher. The student and weapon were both removed. The school says that they, as well as law enforcement, worked together. No lockdown was needed because they did have that SRO present on campus. Rocky Mount police are investigating, and we just got a release from the school saying that that student involved will face disciplinary measures.
Michelle, thanks. The new state budget is on its way to the governor's desk after receiving final approval this morning from state lawmakers. And Governor Roy Cooper has already announced he plans to allow it to become law without a signature. It contains something he's campaigned for years, Medicaid expansion. WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live outside the state Senate, where the final vote took place about an hour ago. Laura.
Renee, you know, in his statement this morning that came out just after that final vote, Governor Roy Cooper confirmed what a lot of observers had already expected, that he would not veto the budget, despite disagreeing with large parts of it. Cooper said the budget doesn't go far enough on raises for teachers and state employees or on education funding, and he said parts of it will almost certainly be challenged in court. But Republican legislators' strategy of pairing Medicaid expansion with the budget paid off in the end. I will not allow people who are crying for help to wait any longer, so I am directing our Department of Health and Human Services to begin today the process for expanding Medicaid while allowing this budget to become law without my signature, Cooper wrote. One of the sections that Cooper objects to is the creation of a legislative investigative arm. It would have subpoena power to investigate any person, business, or group that receives state money. It would have no checks or balances. Democratic Senator Craig Meyer called it a secret police force that could be used for political harassment or retribution.
You do business with the state and your business is registered at your home, that partisan legislative staff from GovOps could go into your home without a warrant to get documents from your home, including computer files.
It is something that is designed to assist the General Assembly and all members of the General Assembly in carrying out our constitutional obligations to oversee the money that's being spent.
That's Senate Leader Phil Berger. He said the new investigative force is not intended to be partisan. He also said that he would be willing to discuss adding some limitations on the committee's authority if lawmakers have concerns. We're about to find out, because with Cooper's announcement today, the budget will become law in 10 days. Meyer, by the way, says there's no similar legislative agency with that much power anywhere else in the country. Renee?
Laura Leslie reporting live from the state legislature. Thanks.
And happening right now in the WREL Life Center, Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey has just been indicted on federal bribery charges. This is what we are learning this afternoon. He and his wife, Nadine, received hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes. They also used the senator's influence to enrich businessmen from New Jersey, as well as the Egyptian government. Menendez received cash payments and note payments toward his mortgage and compensation for low or no-show job, as well as luxury vehicles and other items. The indictment also alleged that Menendez provided sensitive U.S. government information as well and interfered in another investigation that involved a New Jersey attorney general.
In the last few minutes, a crucial deadline passed and more of the nation's auto workers are joining the picket lines. The United Auto Workers Union set a deadline for noon today. The strike against automakers are now in 38 locations in 20 states. Issues such as hourly pay, retirement benefits, cost of living adjustments, wage progression, and work-life balance are the workers' demands. Now, leaked messages obtained by CNN indicate the union had been preparing to strike against automakers for months.
Hollywood writers and producers continue their talks for a third day today, hoping to reach an agreement. The Writers Guild of America will meet with producers in hopes to put an end to the strike that's put the entertainment industry on hold. WGA members have been on strike since May, with actors joining them in July. The strikes are also affecting the economy. Warner Brothers said it would be negatively impacted by the strikes by up to $500 million. A Crime Stoppers tip in Fayetteville led to the arrest of two people and a large drug and firearms bust. Police say they seized 14 firearms, 714 grams of marijuana, cocaine, fentanyl, drug paraphernalia, and more than 3,000 rounds of ammunition. Erica Goins is charged with drug trafficking and possession with intent to sell. Rebecca Vasily is charged with felony conspiracy. Law enforcement in Northampton County are asking people to lock their doors and be on the lookout for a man who escaped custody after he was arrested. The sheriff's office says 32-year-old Dwayne Boot of Pendleton escaped yesterday after being arrested at his home on numerous warrants. Deputies are searching for him around the town of Jackson. If you see him, call 911. Next at noon, a man who spent more than 30 hours stranded at sea comes face to face with his rescuers. We'll share the happy reunion. Also,
it is important for us to have that building demolished so we can move forward in our healing process.
A source of pain for the Parkland, Florida community will soon be demolished.
Plus, Migos rapper Quavo is using his platform to advocate against gun violence. The foundation his family is launching to invest in violence intervention. Elizabeth.
And here's a live look at Wrightsville Beach. You can see a surfer walking down the beach, and you can see just how big those waves are. Coming back, we're going to talk more about the impacts on the coast and right here of the storm making its way in our direction.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
At least two people are being treated for life-threatening injuries after a shooting in Charlotte. A third person is being treated for serious injuries. This happened around 10:45 at the Delta Crossing Apartments off W.T. Harris Boulevard, which is a major road. Police blocked a section of the complex with crime scene tape. Officers and canines searched for evidence overnight. No word on any arrests or a motive.
Migos rapper Quavo is advocating against gun violence after his nephew Takeoff was shot and killed. He met privately with political figures, including Vice President Kamala Harris. The trauma Quavo experienced from witnessing his nephew's death last year is something that he says he doesn't want anyone else to experience. He spoke on a panel about combating the issue during a conference in Washington this week. The vice president has praised Quavo and his sister Tatiana Davenport's call for action.
A haunting reminder of the school massacre in Parkland, Florida will soon be erased, but the memory of those lost will never fade. Broward County Public Schools announced that the district will begin demolishing the building of what used to be Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School as soon as the school year ends. Officials say they wanted to tear down the building where 17 people were shot to death in 2018, but they had to wait until the trials of the shooter and former school resource officer Scott Peterson were over.
I cannot wait for the day that it's not here. You know, that I don't look down this long hallway and see a memory that's not a good memory. It's this horrible memory.
The demolition itself will take a few weeks. The school district hopes that by giving everyone the timeline this far in advance, it will give people time to emotionally process the event.
A dramatic rescue at sea and the emotional reunion between the man and the people who saved his life. Charlie Gregory disappeared at sea for nearly 40 hours last month off the coast of St. Augustine, Florida. His 3 a.m. fishing trip was in the intracoastal, but when a wave knocked over his boat and dumped his flares and cell phone, he was swept 12 miles away from no working motor. His 8-foot aluminum boat was partially submerged in water and was surrounded by sharks the same size of his boat. Finally, crews looking for Charlie spotted him in the ocean. Charlie's parents were understandably in disbelief and most of all, relieved.
He's alive. Charlie's been found. He's alive. And we went from dead to living in a split second.
Well, yesterday, the Gregories were able to meet with members of the Coast Guard who helped save Charlie. He says he's still enjoying the water and his family is filled with joy that he is back safely on land.
Even with rough weather in the forecast, Benson Mule Days is still a go through Sunday. The fun includes vendors, live music, and carnival rides. The mule events start today, including mule races and a mule show. Organizers have not canceled the parade scheduled for tomorrow morning at 10. But you'll want to keep checking back with us. We'll let you know if that changes. WRL is a proud community partner. And Sunday will be in the clear, but Saturday, especially the first part, is where things get dicey.
Yeah, let's get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Garney in the WRL Severe Weather Center, just tracking this timeline of what we can expect.
That's right. So it is a WRL Weather Alert Day, and the two big issues, of course, are going to be rain and wind. And we'll walk you through and show you what time and what sort of levels of each of these you'll see, depending on where you are. We're watching the center here, the low pressure system, moving closer and closer to the coast. And we've had, of course, some views of some of the waves crashing on shore. As a matter of fact, here's Wrightsville Beach. Definitely, you know, very wet camera lens, really big waves out there for this system. It has 50 mile per hour winds around it. It's moving to the north at about 12 miles per hour. And that rain is creeping closer and closer to our viewing area. We'll check in with weather several times over the next hour. And I feel like toward the end of the hour, we'll probably see a pretty big difference with that rain marching eastward. Again, north at 12, 50 mile per hour winds. It is still potential tropical cyclone 16. It doesn't have a closed circulation, so it's all about the structure of the storm and not the wind speeds, and that's why it isn't Tropical Storm Ophelia yet. It probably will be potentially by 8 o'clock this evening or by early tomorrow morning. It's likely to move onshore in eastern North Carolina around 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow and then continue to trek northward. And again, as Renee said, things are looking much better for us on Sunday. The new thing this noon is that several of our counties are in the tropical storm warning now, where we're going to see winds gusting up to 40, maybe 45 miles per hour. So Sampson County, Wayne County, Wilson, Edgecombe, Nash, Halifax, and Northampton counties are the ones that were added to the tropical storm warning. And so in those places, we'd be more concerned about power outages and some heavy rain. We take a look at the coast. This is a look at our max winds gusts at the buoys. So off the coast, south and west of Cape Lookout, 63 mile per hour wind gusts, 51 off of Cape Hatteras. So we are definitely seeing some stronger and stronger winds. Our local winds are gusting anywhere from 25 to 30 in some places. So gusts to 28 in Fayetteville, 28 Raleigh, gusting to 29 and Rocky Mount. But again, we're looking at potential gusts from Raleigh eastward up to 40 miles per hour, up to 35 west of Raleigh, around Greenville, down toward Wilmington, up to 50. And then along the Outer Banks could be up to 70 mile per hour wind gusts. We take a look at Futurecast, and you can see the waves of rain moving through. We'll likely have some rain between 3 and 5 o'clock in the triangle. It continues to then be heavy at times overnight tonight and into early tomorrow morning. This is as midnight. You see more waves coming in tomorrow morning. With those waves is when we're going to see the strongest winds, and that may be early Saturday morning. And then gradually, after lunchtime, we start to see it dissipating. And by the time we get to 5 to 8 o'clock, it may be that the bulk of the rain is over. Well, during that time period, we can see 2 to 4 inches of rain along the I-95 corridor, especially north of Goldsboro. We take a look again, that forecast rainfall around the Triangle area, probably going to be maybe an inch to an inch and a quarter, inch and a half. But from Rocky Mount north and east, we could see easily some areas where we're looking at 3 inches of rain. Mule Day started yesterday. Yesterday was a nice dry day. Of course, we're starting to see the rain push in now. The winds are going to be picking up. It's going to be messy for us the rest of the day today and for most of Saturday. Again, that rain may start to taper off late in the afternoon and evening. Right now, we're still on track for a good-looking Sunday with partly cloudy skies, 80 degrees. Still probably going to be a little bit breezy, but not the kind of wind that we're seeing tonight. Football Friday definitely will be affected. Temperatures will be in the 60s. It's going to be windy with those gusts up to 30, 35 tonight, and a lot of rain in those rain bands. Cool today, a high of 74. We're looking at 67 Saturday. And then it's just nice and quiet for us on Sunday and Monday before we have another chance of some storms Wednesday and Thursday. Coming up, we'll continue to take a look at that rain as it starts to move into our area. I'll show you who's seeing it first.
All right, Elizabeth, thanks. Also coming up this noon hour, if you and your family plan to travel this holiday season, you should consider booking soon. The Best Buy Date industry analysts say you should meet for the lowest prices.
Medical debt is the most common debt in collection. Now the Biden administration is looking at ways to remove it from Consumer Reports. You're looking at a live picture from RDU International, where we're just about 2 months away from the busy holiday travel season. Can you believe it? Industry experts say holiday vacationers can get good deals if they book their trips no later than October 14th. Right now, domestic flights are averaging $268 a ticket, down 14% compared to last year. Air travel around Christmas time is about $400 for round trip. Tickets to Europe are slightly down, about $590 round trip around Thanksgiving time and $960 for Christmas. Many would-be home buyers are running out of options as mortgages rise, prices soar, and the number of previously owned homes on the market decrease. The national median sale price in August hovered around $407,000. Home lender Freddie Mac says 30-year fixed rates are above 7%. High interest is also making potential sellers reluctant to part if they can't get new low rates when they buy again.
Well, you've heard of mood swings. Well, right now you can track moods with Apple Watches. Apple's new watch OS X includes this feature. The new watch can track mental health and state of mind, letting you log feelings and tracking time spent outdoors in daylight. Cyclists will like the new additions as well. Calorie tracking for e-biking and even fall detection. Riders can also track how they're doing when in power zones. Well, secondhand smoke is putting millions of Americans at risk for serious health issues, and many don't even know it. Researchers say up to 56 million adults are unknowingly and regularly exposed to smoke. The American Cancer Society says those exposed to smoke breathe in the same toxic chemicals and nicotine as smokers. This puts people at risk of chronic conditions like heart and respiratory disease and cancer. Well, coming up in our next half hour, a potential tropical cyclone hitting the coast where you're looking live right now at Carolina Beach. We'll tell you what you need to know if you're planning a beach trip this weekend.
Plus, Congress is working to avoid a potential government shutdown. How long they have and how a shutdown would impact you.
And a look at your winning North Carolina Education Lottery numbers. A tropical warning is now in effect for most of our eastern counties. A potential tropical cyclone 16 moves toward our state. You're looking live right now at Lake Gaston.
And that potential tropical cyclone will bring us tropical storm conditions. We're talking heavy rain and strong winds. It'll be worse the closer you get to the coast. Let's get to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking it all for us.
It is a WRL weather alert day. That really kicks in closer to, say, 6 or 7 o'clock this evening when we're going to see heavy rain everywhere and the winds will be gusting up to 40 miles per hour. The rain total, by the time this all ends late Saturday, 1 to 3 inches, and our strongest gusts in our viewing area should be up to around 40 miles per hour. We're starting to to see that coastal low getting much closer to us. Some heavy rain here in eastern North Carolina. And we're just beginning to see some of those rain bands inching into our area. We're just now picking up rain on the camera here in Clinton. It looks like it's coming down pretty heavily, but it hasn't even been raining long enough to really make the roads too wet. This is our look from Alfredo's restaurant there. So that is the beginning of the rain. You can see the flag there whipping around pretty strongly. We're seeing some gusts in that area up to around 30 miles per hour. So you can see that shield of rain moving inland from the coast. We'll zoom in down closer, just starting to see some of that rain there in Clinton and southward toward Garland, but it will continue to move across our area over the next several hours and all the way until well into late afternoon tomorrow. So potential tropical cyclone 16. It seems confusing. We have a tropical storm warning, but it's a potential tropical cyclone. It's all about the structure of the storm. It doesn't have a closed circulation, and that's the structure required for it to be a tropical storm. It has tropical storm force winds. It has heavy rain. It's just the structure of it. So we don't need to focus too much on that, but of course that is the name of it, so it can be a little confusing. The storm itself likely to move into eastern North Carolina during the morning hours tomorrow with 60 mile per hour winds close to the coast, even possibly some 70 mile per hour gusts there along the Outer Banks. And then it moves out fairly quickly, drying us out for Sunday. The counties that were added to the tropical storm warning in the 11 o'clock advisory were the counties really along I-95 from Sampson County all the way up to Northampton County. That's where we're at. Those have been added to the tropical storm warning. Taking a look at some of the wind gusts across our area, those are in the white box on the right. So gusting to 28 in Raleigh and Durham, 24 in Goldsboro, 29 in Rocky Mount and in Fayetteville. And those numbers will steadily go up as we get through tonight. East of Raleigh, looking at gusts up to 40. West of Raleigh, gusts up to 35. East of our viewing area, gusting up to 50. And then closer to the coast there, up to 70 along the Outer Banks. Here's a look at Futurecast. We see those steady bands of rain moving in. Everybody's going to be pretty wet by the evening commute. So hopefully, if you're watching, you've got your umbrella handy and not in the car. If it's in the car, you might want to go get it if you're watching from work. And then, of course, as we get into the afternoon, we'll start to see the rain bands slowing down a little bit, but not until, say, well after lunchtime, maybe closer to the evening. You can see there at 5 o'clock, we begin to see that rain tapering off, and the winds will begin to ease up, too. We do have a flood watch in effect from Goldsboro northward up toward the Virginia line. And, of course, we're looking at 1 to 2 inches from the Triangle area westward, 2 to 3, possibly some 4-inch totals as you get closer to the coast. Temperatures only in the mid-70s. We drop into the 60s and stay there all the way through tomorrow. We'll talk a bit more about what Sunday will look like coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Well, if you had an end of summer beach trip planned this weekend, that storm system hitting the coast may force you to change those plans. WRAL's Shelley Jackson tells us what you need to know before hitting the coast this weekend.
Rip currents and storm surges are one thing to be aware of if you're making the trip down this stretch of I-40 this weekend. If you're heading that way, make sure to pack an emergency kit. Include a flashlight, extra batteries, food, water, and of course, a phone charger. Governor Cooper and state emergency management officials are urging you to be prepared and stay safe. They say they are ready to respond to any issues this weekend. Businesses along the coast are used to these weather systems. We spoke to the owner of Sweet and Savory Cafe. It's near Wrightsville Beach, who say they are just keeping an eye on the storm.
So you sort of hang on doing things normally as you can until you have as much information as you can. And then you make the best call you can. And sometimes you guess right. You know, sometimes you guess wrong. You don't ever want to put staff in danger.
And wherever you are this weekend, make sure you are aware of the local forecast. You can sign up for weather alerts on WRAL.com. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, near Benson.
Business owners are sharing their concerns and pushing for solutions to fight crime in downtown Raleigh ahead of the weekend rush. This is a story we've been following for you. We recently told you about crime in the Social District. Now, safety concerns are also rising in the City Market area. Woody says surveillance video has captured people coming into the restaurant and relieving themselves on the floor. WRAL spoke to an employee at the restaurant who didn't want to go on camera. They say Woody's has been forced to hire its own private security.
Trying to do what the best we can to bring business back in, and then now we're spending money out of, you know, our owners' pockets to pay security.
This month, Raleigh announced it is increasing police patrols in certain areas like Glenwood South and the Moore Square Transit Station. Woody's management wants that same action to be taken in the city market. The Downtown Raleigh Alliance also has an ambassadors program. They're not police, but they help escort people to their cars and diffuse situations that may not require law enforcement's help.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, that UAW strike against General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis is expanding. Today, UAW President Sean Fain called for union members to strike starting at noon. They're actually striking right now. If you look on the NBC News Channel website here, you can see a couple of different strikes. This one's going on in Michigan. We do have another one going on in Milwaukee as well as North Texas. But they said that the progress in negotiations with Ford means that it won't expand the number of Ford workers on the picket lines, but the Stellantis facilities that are going on strike are in Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Colorado, Illinois, and California. They said that the union members will strike at 38 General Motors and Stellantis facilities. Fain also invited President Biden to join workers on the picket line.
Well, lawmakers in Washington are scrambling to avoid a government shutdown. The federal government runs out of money at the end of September. Without congressional action, it shuts down on October 1st for the first time since 2019. A government shutdown would force hundreds of thousands of federal workers to be furloughed or work without pay until the shutdown ends.
Honey should never be given to babies younger than 12 months. Why can make them seriously sick?
Also, so many wildfires polluting the air. How often people are exposed to that smoke and the serious health issues that can come from it.
Honey is a natural sweetener with antioxidants. So why isn't it safe for babies? Well, honey may contain bacteria that can produce toxins in a baby's intestines, leading to infant botulism. The bacteria is harmless to kids over the age of one and adults, but babies are still developing their immune systems and the bacteria can make them seriously sick. Symptoms of infant botulism include lethargy, floppy movements, difficulty breathing, and trouble swallowing. Pediatricians recommend waiting until your baby is at least 12 months before introducing honey. The number of people around the world who are exposed to wildfire smoke is increasing with possible health risks. A new study out of Australia says everyone is exposed to wildfire smoke about 10 days a year. And 2 billion people a year are exposed to potential health-impacting fire smoke. Researchers say that exposure is increasing risks for heart, lung, and mental health problems.
Well, supply chain issues are causing some delays for COVID-19 vaccine appointments. Pharmacies are canceling appointments for some people who made appointments for COVID-19 vaccine shots because they simply don't have the shots. The federal government paid for and distributed original doses. That's not the case this time around. So producers must keep up with shipments to pharmacies. So it's important to check before you visit your pharmacy for your booster shot. One in five Americans have medical debt on their credit reports. Now the Biden administration wants to remove it completely. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says medical bills often are mistakes. A proposal under consideration would stop credit companies from including that type of debt on Americans' credit reports.
September is National Suicide Prevention Month. We'll share how you can identify the warning signs and offer help.
Well, mental health professions are on high alert as suicide rates continue to rise all across the nation.
Sue Guzman offers some best practices when it comes to identifying the warning signs, who could be at risk, and how to try and help.
While September marks National Suicide Prevention Month, mental health experts say raising awareness and reducing the stigma around asking for help should be happening year-round, especially since provisional data from the CDC found nearly 50,000 people in the U.S. took their own lives last year alone, a tragic new record. The CDC says many factors can contribute to suicide risk, including a history of depression, financial problems, substance use, bullying, and more.
We know that individuals who are identifying as part of the LGBTQ plus community are at higher risk for suicide. Women are more likely to attempt suicide. Men are more likely to die by suicide, and that is because of their greater likelihood of using lethal means such as firearms.
If you recognize someone may be at risk, psychologists say creating a safe space for a judgment-free conversation is critical.
Another misconception is that if we ask a person at risk if they're having thoughts of suicide or harming themselves, that we're actually going to cause them to die by suicide or put the idea in their heads. And the research does not support that. In fact, by having a conversation around suicide, we open the door for someone to communicate about their needs and to offer the needed support.
The CDC reports the largest increases in suicides have been among older adults 65 and up. Mental health professionals advise anyone needing immediate support to call or text the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988.
And that was Sue Guzman reporting. Mental health professionals, as she just mentioned, advise anyone who needs help to text that Suicide Crisis Lifeline. You see it right there at 988.
Now's the time to purchase tickets for the Triangle's newest walk-through holiday light event. The DBAP will transform into Woolies Winter Wonderland, bringing joy and holiday fun to families and friends across our viewing area. It all happens November 22nd through New Year's Eve. You can enjoy shopping, get your picture with Santa, or take a ride on the holiday train. Now, to buy tickets, go to WRL.com, enter Wonderland in the search bar to learn more. Let's get you caught up on what you need to know for the WRL Weather Alert Day that will officially start tonight, but we'll start to see the rain this afternoon, right?
That's right. We're seeing the rain move in slowly, and we'll start to see the main impacts as we get into the evening, which is going to be heavy rain and strong gusty winds up to around 40 miles per hour. Here's a look. You can see lots of heavy rain along the coast right now. Some of these rain bands pushing in. Beaufort, just FYI, is right about there, and you can see some of the yellow shaded areas. We're going to take a look there at Beaufort, and you can see. You probably can't see it as well as I can standing right beside the monitor. The rain is pouring. There's so much water on the camera lens, and it is definitely blowing. As a matter of fact, we've seen some gusts here in some of the buoys offshore as high as 60 miles per hour already ahead of the system. You can start to see some of the rain creeping in here in the southern part of Wayne County, and of course in Sampson County, starting to move into the eastern part of Edgecombe County as well. So very, very slowly that rain's moving into our area. But of course, right now, it is 12:47, and it is likely to spread across pretty much the entire viewing area by the evening commute. You can see Clinton and again the southern part of Wayne County with that rain. The center of our coastal low will move onshore around 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning right there, not too far from where Beaufort is, continue to trek northward and move on out to allow us to dry out on Sunday. Tropical storm warning in effect for several of our counties in the east now. That's new as of the 11 a.m. advisory. And the big difference is we could see gusts 40 to 45 miles per hour here. That puts us in the zone for a few isolated power outages, more so than what we might see in the non-shaded area from the triangle area back to the west. Take a look at some of the wave heights that we're seeing up near the northern part of the Outer Banks or just offshore. Some of those buoys are picking up 10 and 11 foot waves, 12 foot waves due south there of Beaufort. So the seas are really starting to pick up as the system is moving in. Winds here are still about the same as they were when we started the newscast about 45 minutes ago. So gusting to 29 in Fayetteville and Rocky Mount, 28 in Durham and Raleigh. We'll start to see those gusts late tonight and early tomorrow, up to 35, 40 miles per hour, depending on where you are. Looking at a potential strong gust of 41 in Raleigh, 42 in Fayetteville. You can see a couple of orange shaded areas. That's where gusts could be up to, say, 45 miles per hour. But generally, we're looking at a fairly low risk for power outages in our viewing area out of the system. We continue to see that rain pushing westward again by the evening commute. It's wet. It's windy for pretty much everybody in the viewing area. And then the waves of rain keep coming overnight and into the morning. There's 6 a.m. As we get closer to mid to late afternoon, that's when it starts to ease up, taper off a little bit as the low pulls northward. By 5 to 7 o'clock, we're starting to see the rain tapering off. But before that, we do have a flood watch that's in effect. And say from Goldsboro northward, that's where we'll have the best chance of seeing 3 to 4 inches of rain. Most of us are going to see something between 1 and 3 inches. The lighter amounts, the farther west you go, maybe an inch inch to an inch and a half around the Triangle area, and then 2 to 2.5, say from Goldsboro to Rocky Mount. But there are going to be some spots maybe in the Northeast that reach 3 to 4 inches of rain. Definitely going to be a cool day today with all the clouds and the rain, 74, even cooler tomorrow. We're going to see a northerly wind for much of the day, allowing our temperatures to only warm up to 67. Sunday, though, still looks good. So we've got the Benson Mule Days and a lot of other events happening. Anything that still lasts on Sunday should be okay. We'll see a high of 80 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Monday looks nice. Our next best chance of storms would be Wednesday and Thursday.
Elizabeth, thanks. A startup is peeling back the layers to create a sustainable leather alternative. How bananas are becoming the latest fruit to be turned into a vegan leather. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we are following today. First, tracking the storm in the tropics. We want to give you another look at the counties that are now under tropical storm warning. Counties from I-95 all the way to the coast could see rain picking up this afternoon, and 1 to 3 inches of rain to the storm is gone.
New video into our newsroom right now of conditions at Atlantic Beach. You can see the impact the storm is having. Churning rough surf, some big waves, and overcast conditions. WRAL will have crews on the coast throughout the storm and extended coverage tomorrow morning to keep you aware of weather conditions.
Governor Roy Cooper says he will not veto the state budget despite major objections to many parts of it. Lawmakers gave it their final vote of approval this morning. The governor will allow it to become law without his signature. Cooper said the budget doesn't go far enough in some places, and parts will be challenged in court.
A climate change startup is helping to protect our planet by transforming banana waste into leather. Banoffee was created by a grad student from Yale. India is one of the world's largest producers of bananas. It is also among the world's largest leather exporters. Banoffee is comprised of 60% banana fiber and 20% natural additives. The global market is for vegan leather is the biggest it's ever been, valued at almost $40 billion in 2022.
Well, anything worth doing is worth doing twice, right? At least at Memorial Care Long Beach Medical Center, that's the key. The Women's Hospital reporting 10 sets of twins yesterday. Three pairs were born on the same day and two in the same hour. Another mother gave birth to her twins on two different days. The group consists of 16 boys and 4 girls.
There's something in the water. It's great. I'm hoping that maybe one day we can all get together and meet the other twins and just have a twin party.
Wow. Well, many of the babies are small and require lengthy hospital stays in the NICU.
Oh, but double the joy. A Las Vegas man charged with stealing nearly $7,000 worth of Lego sets is due in court Monday. Police say the man and a woman stole the kits from 2 Target stores between July and mid-September. When he was arrested leaving a store, he was allegedly carrying 3 sets. Legos are often resold online or in secondhand shops because they are collector's items.
Well, our pets of the day come to us courtesy of the SPCA of Wake County. Meet Diana and Ursa. These 2 12-year-old ladies are bonded at the hip and are thick as thieves. The 2 best friends can't be split up, so we are trying to find a home for them together. They are lovely, gentle souls with a hint of quirky personalities. If you're interested in adopting these 2 best friends, contact the SPCA's website.
And another reminder that tropical storm warning in effect for Edgecombe, Halifax, Nash, Sampson, and Wayne counties. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update is coming up in 30 minutes.
And of course, you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app and, of course, online at WREL.com. Have a great day and a good weekend.
Stay safe with the latest WRAL Weather Alert Day info. Get up to the minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 FM.